morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let us be known to order and worship, let all things be done decently and in order. That comes from 1 Corinthians 14:40. I'd like to ask Dr. Black, you care to open us up in prayer just to soften our hearts and open our minds a little bit?
I can do that. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to take a moment, Lord, just to thank you for this day. Lord, you have woke us up this morning. You have started us on our way. And Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Heavenly Father, we have now set aside this hour, Lord, to come and to worship you, spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, we are asking you before we go into the service to touch every heart that is present, Lord. And Lord, and please be with our pastor, Lord, as he orchestrate, Lord, and give us a word today, Lord, that would definitely touch our hearts, Lord. And Lord, before we close today, Lord, we want to just thank you again. Thank you for everyone that is present on the line that's going to hear the word and participate in this service today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let us move to our psalm and worship here. I have Psalm 29. Do we have a volunteer that would care to read our psalm of the day?
Sure, I'll start.
Amen.
Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as kings forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Amen.
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 The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Amen. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. We have our Old Testament reading. Does someone have a heart to read our Old Testament reading today?
I can.
Genesis 9, 8 through 17.
Then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth.
Just to reiterate, then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is a sign of the covenant I'm confirming with all the creatures on the earth. We're going to go in depth later on more about this rainbow, what that means. We have someone whose heart is softened to read our New Testament scripture coming from 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 22.
I'll read it. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God, he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. While the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. May the Lord bless the readers and the hearers of his word. Amen.
See that reaffirming it. Some of y'all may have figured out the theme of today's lesson here. Do we have a believer that cares to read and lead us in the Apostles' Creed?
I can do that.
Thank you, sister.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come the judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So now we are going to dive into the scripture text of today, a covenant of peace. Remind us, chaos did not move him, and silence did not distract him. The flood did not wash away his covenant. God remembered. He did not forget, for forgetting belongs to men. But God remembered Noah as a flame remembers the spark, as the seed remembers the tree. He remembered not just Noah's name, but the promise that lived beneath the waters. He remembered the righteousness that floats when all else sinks. He remembered the altar before it was built. He remembered mercy before judgment ran its course. God remembered. The Hebrew word zachar, not a memory of the mind, but a motion of the heart. It means to act, to restore, to gather near. When God remembers, the wind begins to stir. When God remembers, the spirit begins to hover. When God remembers, creation starts again. He sent his ruach, the wind, the spirit, just as in the beginning, just as over the deep. For the waters were not the end, they were a womb. And remembrance is the breath that calls forth life. This is not memory. This is mercy. And if he remembered Noah, he will remember you. He will not forget the ark of your obedience, nor the dove of your hope. He will not forget the offering you carry in secret. He will not forget the promise he whispered before the storm. God remembers what you think is lost. God remembers before you asked. God remembers before you drown. And what he does, the waters recede, the wind returns, the rainbow rises, and the ground of new beginnings appear. Let us pray for a moment. Father God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your blessings. Lord, as we study your scripture this day, as we look at the story of Noach, soften our hearts, open our minds that we might hear what it is that you would want us to glean from this lesson today. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. A covenant of peace. Today's scripture text, the full text, is coming from Genesis 8, 13 to 22. And you know, we're going to have a lot of scripture today, but it starts off very simple. I go to such. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. He sent the wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. The underground water stopped flowing, and the torrential rain from the sky were stopped. So the floodwaters gradually receded from the earth after 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began. The boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, the mountain peaks became visible. I'm going to pause there for a moment. Sometimes we read over these texts, we want to make sure we glean this idea. Noah's in a flood, and he's in this ark, and he is here by his obedience. Understand that many who were disobedient or whom did not hear the still small voice had already perished. And even though in his obedience and in his labor and in his work, he found himself yet in a storm. But we find that we don't hear how Noah curses God for the storm. We find that he is ultimately blessed for his obedience. But even when we all have, like, this is a, we can look at this, we all have a Noah-like experience, and sometimes we have multiples of these type of experiences. But understand that God has in mind a resting place for us. When we are in this flood, and you notice that here he finds himself in the mountains, in a high place. There is another lesson here that when we're obedient to the Almighty, and we're obedient in the preparation, and we know about the armor of God, right? When we're obedient in both our physical and spiritual preparation, and we weather the storm, and sometimes during that storm, the adversary angel may whisper in our ear to have us curse the Almighty. But understand that sometimes just because we are in our salvation does not mean there will be no storm, does not mean there will be no flood. It just means that we have protection in the midst of what God has created. And in the middle of that flood, we can be reminded that God has in mind a resting place. As we continue reading to verse 6, after another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the flood waters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove and the water had to see if the water had receded and if it could find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time the dove returned to him in the evening with the fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the flood waters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days and released the dove again, and this time it did not come back. So I want to pause here again and look into what are some of the lessons in this. So he had a landing place, and then we have this 40 days. And understand in the scriptures, the number 40 is a number of completion. So could it have been an exact 40 days? Maybe. More importantly, it was a complete amount of days. It was a chapter. It was a story in Noah's life. Those 40 days were not maybe the easiest 40 days. There's probably a whole book written about those 40 days in the family of Noah. And then he releases this raven, and the bird flew back and forth. But then he also released the dove to find dry ground. And this dove didn't find a place to land, and the dove came back. And sometimes after we go through a storm, we want to find out, and if you would, test the waters. And it could be so easily to be discouraged when the dove comes back. Sometimes we can lose sight that we are blessed to be in the ark, that we are blessed to be in a boat, we are blessed to have our family, We are blessed to have provisions, and we are even blessed to have a dove. But when this dove returns, we may find ourselves discouraged. And I often wonder, what did the 7 days feel like with Noah? This may have been the longest 7 days as he returned back to talk to his missus and his sons and their wives. I imagine the eight people in the boat maybe gave him the side eye. Maybe some gave him encouragement. Sometimes we can focus on Noah, but I ask us each to wonder, how would we behave in the eight when we see our brother or sister or our mother or father or son or daughter going through a 7 day experience? Will we backbite and discourage them in the ark, or we give them courage and uplift them? Let's make sure that we are prudent and kind and loving and supporting in the ark of the covenant within the church body. But be clear when we read this, I think it's very, it sounds, this is written really nicely, but I think that there may have been a lot of turmoil in the ark. It may have been spoken, but I think there was greater storms happening in the hearts of the people in the boat than what was happening outside. We continue on to 13. Noah was now 601 years old on the first day of the new year, 10 and a half months after the flood began. Right? 10 and a half months after the flood began. The floodwaters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw the surface of the ground was drying. 2 more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. I'm going to pause here again. So now we have dry land. Then we have hope. We see it. We can see the land drying up. But there's still time. Sometimes we can get impatient in the process of God. I imagine that as this boat rested in the mountains and you're seeing the leaves from afar, but here we are. 10 and a half months since the flood began, being patient and waiting for when it is safe to walk, waiting for the commandment to leave the ark. See, I imagine some may have wanted to just run out and jump, touch that ground. But here we find that Noah was obedient, and the eight were obedient, and they were living through the storm. And this is one of those overlooked little portions here of this patience. This is where the scriptures say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Noah waited on the Lord. Then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you, and your wife, and your sons, and their wives. Release all the animals, the birds, and the livestock, all the small animals that scurry on the ground, so they can be fruitful and multiply through the earth. So Noah, his wife, and his sons left the boat, and all the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. Here we find again there is obedience. When God said, hey, leave the boat, I imagine at this time, maybe some were afraid to leave the boat. Sometimes people get comfortable in their hiding spot. They get comfortable in that safety nest. And when it's time to come back out to the world, we saw this during COVID, people got comfortable in their houses. And as things started to open up, people had anxiety going into the markets, even if they were vaccinated. They had anxiety going to work, even if they already survived COVID twice. Sometimes it's difficult to be obedient when God says in the Lechi, or to go out. But let's look at what Noah does. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed his burnt offerings, the animals and the birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice, and he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvesting, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Now, there's something in this here to really look at. There's a covenant that the Lord makes, but he also says something here that we should glean from this, right? Let me back up. Noah's first thing was to build an altar to the Lord. It is pertinent when we go through things that we look for a way to bring offerings to the Almighty as he softens our heart. When God takes us through a storm, our fleshly inclination may almost to be to curse God or give God the sidearm. How dare you put me through this? Rather than say, oh Lord, I'm so grateful you brought me through this, right? So Noah, his heart was in the right place, and he does this offering to the Lord. And when we look at what God says to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. And then he says this interesting thing, though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. This, when we're about our Father's business in the Great Commission, when we run across people that are bent towards evil, including when we brush our teeth and look in the mirror, we should then, rather than curse one another, which I know God's still working on me. I told y'all last week about my neighbor cut down my tree. I'm still work. God's working on me. He's working on me, right? But rather than curse that person, but to see this mercy that God showed here and think, if God can show mercy to all of us, and I'm looking at one speck of evil, and the Almighty can see all the evil in this world, and yet his mercies are still here and his covenant is still here, how much more should I be forgiving of my brother beside me, even if they cut down my tree? God's still working on it. Let's look at this one. God confirms his covenant. And God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, all the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along on the ground, and the fish of the sea will look unto you with fear and terror. I've placed them in your power. I have given to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetables, but you must never eat any of the meat that is still has its lifeblood in it. So now we see God starting to give you blessings, and then he also gives these other provisions. And this is, we find this in last week's first show, he gives us a blessing and a curse, right? He's saying, you can do all these things, but I don't want you to cut a piece of an animal that's still alive and then do that. No, there's a certain way, right? And we find that these Noahide laws are being given. And then this week on Tuesday, when we go into the Sweet Prayer Show, we may review the Noahide laws. But for the sake of today, I want to continue forward here and go back to this covenant. In verse 8, then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and every creature on the earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will the floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send my clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. So I want to talk about this rainbow, right? Because in verse 16, he even says again, when I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on the earth. And Noah even confirms. So what is this rainbow? What does this mean in the Easternisms? See, there's something that's kind of overlooked. Sometimes we look at this beautiful rainbow, and we just go, wow, that's so beautiful. And sometimes we remember, we think about the story of Noah. I know for me, ever so personally, I remember when my twin nephews were born on my older brother, blessed memory's birthday. And as my mother held these two twin baby boys, there was two rainbows in the sky across Anchorage. It was one of those things where God said, I remember, right? And I know many of us may have awesome, super fond memories of when we see rainbows with our families as a kid looking at the sky. It's just this warm, fuzzy feeling happens when we see rainbows. But in the East, but in the Easternism, there's this other thought that is overlooked so often, that it is a bow, like a bow and an arrow. And the Almighty is saying, my bow is not pointed at you. That my bow is pointed away. I'll keep my bow pointed away from you. So there's this beautiful, and think about it, that God's mercy has so much power that when he reminds us that his bow is facing away from us, that we have, I mean, all of these beautiful things Just think of all the wonderful things that the rainbow can signify. And I know that there's secular thoughts as well, but when we think about forgiveness and love and acceptance, you know, this is why this symbol is there, this mercy. So I encourage those, all of us here, to remember God's mercy, remember God's wrath being pointed away every time we see a rainbow. I also wanted to take some time to look at certain imageries. The dove imagery. And he releases this dove, and the dove represents peace and patience and discernment. When we find ourselves having this dove experience that Noah had, as I kind of go back to the rescission of the flood, that understand that we have to have this peace and patience and discernment. Also, we find that the dove also has this relevance in the scriptures as the Holy Spirit. We find when Christ is baptized, wow, Jesus is in the water and a dove comes down. The Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove. You have this connection to this covenant. It's a beautiful, beautiful opening story. But so when we think about it again and review that God has a landing place after every storm, and even when we land after the shaking and the rocking and the leaking and the things done, that we still must show patience and long suffering. We have to remember that dove imagery. We have to remember that there was maybe 7 long days, and remember 10.5 long months. We want our ark experience to be wrapped up in 40 quick days. We can do 40 days, but when we start thinking about this being 10.5 months, some of us tend to slow down on that, right? But then also, I want to review that when Noah built an altar before anything else. Later on, we found that Noah, he built himself a vineyard and got himself in trouble a little bit. But the first thing he did was he recognized God. We go through suffering. When we go through a storm, do not take the little whisper of the adversary angel to give God the side eye for making us go through that. But let us build an altar to the Almighty in thanksgiving for bringing us through it. Sometimes when you have the calluses, the sore stomach, or all the different things that come through after coming through a storm, it's hard to, unless we have the discipline of walking with the Almighty, to remember to be thankful, for tomorrow is not promised. Our New Testament connection, if you want to write it down, but it's in 1 Peter 3:20-21. And those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And the water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response from God of a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Christ. And so again, when we look at our baptism experience, when we look at our davening, our ritual purities, when we look at our repentance, we can look at this ark experience and realize that this is not a 1 minute situation. That the process of forgiveness, the process of baptism, though you may get baptized in one day, the transformation may take 10.5 months or more. And there's different phases to that. When we look at new creation in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I think it's fair to say that Noah was a different person when he walked out of the ark. I think all 8 of them were different. Their relationships with each other were different. Obviously, there was no one else around. They all became new. We're also reminded in Philippians 1:6 that God finishes what he starts. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So, walking in the covenant of peace, we have this covenant, we have this covering, we're reminded from this Noah story. But this all is just warm and fuzzies if we don't apply it to the Great Commission. And we use the story of Noah not as something that just makes us feel good, but we use it as a model for peace after destruction. Because I know each soul here has gone through storms and destructions. Several families here today are mourning and going through a storm right now. keep them in prayer. But understand that we can look at God's covenant with Noah and understand that there's a process. And then we look forward and say, what altar must I build? What is God asking you to release? You see that offering that Noah gave up a lot. He was obedient. And his first action when he walked out was to give even more to the Almighty. And so when we walk in the covenant of peace, it's much like when we're invited to the home of another. We must ask ourselves to God, what must I bring? The same way as we about our Father's business in the Great Commission, we seek for one person to ask, what must I do to be saved? So, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for your covenant of peace. Lord, I ask for each soul here, no matter how many storms they may be going through, or how big the storm they're going through now, that you give them the provisions as they're in the ark of your covenant, Lord God. And Lord, when they find the resting place which you provided, bless them with the patience and the long suffering to wait for your blessings. And Lord, when you give them permission to step forth into their blessings, O God, help them, O God, to have a softened heart. And as you remember Noah, let your servant remember you and be prepared to give you a beautiful offering that is appropriate and fitting for your personal relationship with them. In your name I pray. Amen. Testimonies. Does anyone have a testimony they'd like to share? I'm gonna wait.
Good morning. Brother David, I would like to give a testimony to thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way, helping me to get through my week. And I was looking over my messages and got something from the pastor on yesterday talking about today is Children's Day. And so I was just thinking about that for a moment, to think about the beautiful children that we have, those that come to our church, those that worship with us, and their parents. Because when we think about, parenting children in the 21st century, it's just totally different from the time I grew up in. And so I'm just hoping that I can be an encourager or supporter of parents who are now, raising children now, and those who come to our church, and those who we fellowship with. And as we remember today, to remember that Jesus loves the little children, red, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in His sight. And I want to thank
Amen.
a testimony.
Amen. Thank you. Children's Day. Any other testimonies today? Oh, but none being said, I do want to remind there's an interesting connection with Jonah or Yona. That word dove, it's divine timing, right? So dove and Yona, it's this kind of connected. And so we have Noah, and then later on, we'll hear about Jonah. And so when we think about all these different references to water, you find so many times. Still, when it comes down to our offering and our giving, like I said, we're not quite all the way set up for that, but I do ask that you keep that on your heart and mind. And with that being said, our benedictional scripture text today, or our benediction, I'm sorry, is as it was in the days of Noah, so as it is today. The flood has passed and the covenant still stands. May the Lord, who promised never to again cover the earth with waters of wrath, cover you instead with his mercy and peace. Though the mountains may move and the hills be shaken, God's faithful love for you will not be removed, and his covenant of peace will never be broken. Be confident in this. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Step forward into your new beginning as the old has passed away. And in Christ, all things have become new. Go in strength of that promise, anchored in grace, sealed by peace, and carried safely to the shores of purpose. Amen. That concludes
Amen.
service today. Amen. Thank
Amen.
you all.